Hi, I'm Tracy Goodwin of CaptivateTheRoom.com, and you're listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 271.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
We've talked about messaging. We've talked about sales. We're going to continue talking about profits because you're here for business. And I'd like to think some entertainment. And we're going to give you all of that and above. And that's why I'm excited to have Tracy Goodwin here, actress, founder of CaptivateTheRoom.com, and podcast host. We're going to be talking about how to use your voice, this thing right here, to captivate the room, help you get your message out there, increase sales, and make your business better overall. I'm going to bring her up right after we thank our sponsor.
Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Goodwin. Tracy, how are you feeling today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better now. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about voice because so many people, well, everyone has one, but how effectively are they using it? And what was intriguing to me was everyone talks, not everyone, marketing people talk about the communication, the messaging, using better words. And it's like, yeah, I'm using a better word. I'm cool now and I'm doing it the right way. But you're taking it a step farther. You're taking those words and showing a more effective way of how to use them. How do you do that with your voice?
Yes, and I am so excited to have this conversation with you. And that is what people focus on. They focus on the words. And I have a saying, the words are everything and they are nothing. It is how you make me feel when you say those words that has the power to change me. So we really have to look. I believe voice is an internal thing. How do I want you to feel when I say those words?
That's interesting because right now, just by you saying that, I don't know about you, Expert Authority World, but I automatically feel a little bit more relaxed and just everything's cool right now. Was that your intent or were you just talking?
I'm just talking. That is literally me walking my talk and understanding that I want you to feel comfortable. I want to feel comfortable. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel like you've known me your whole life. So I am speaking to you from the place of, I'm going to have the words. I just trust that I'm going to have the words, the right words, and I just want to have a conversation with you.
Well, I do too, and I appreciate that because I can tell it's so ingrained in you. And I was curious, like, were you doing this intentionally because we're recording, or is this something that's just so ingrained in you that, you know, I felt the same way because there's a point where, yeah, you're nervous at first and then you get so comfortable for it. And I've told people, you know, don't ask me to do X, Y, and Z, but put me in front of 1,000 or 10,000 people. I'll be fine. Well, that's my comfort level, just like this is with yours. So how are people ineffectively using, I would say, no, I'm going to do one better. What are people ineffectively using when they're talking to people that we should first consider?
The first thing we have to consider actually goes back to what I alluded to a minute ago, and that is the words. The first mistake we make is getting up in our head. I've got to get the words right. I'm worrying about judgment. I'm worrying about what you're thinking. I'm thinking about that time I messed up. I'm worrying if I'm going to mess up. So the minute we get up in our head and we're thinking about other things, we are not in the now. The only way I have voice power is in the now. And that is because I have to work from my message, which is in my heart. The voice is the orchestra of the heart. So when I can get really present with you, and it goes back to what I said, trust that I'm going to have the words. I have a feel for what we're going to talk about. I believe that I know what I'm talking about. So I'm not in fear of what could happen because that's in the future. So if I stay right here with you, right present with you and have a conversation and not get up in my head, then I'm off to a winning start.
Wow, that's powerful. So we're in the now. We are fully present, which I love being because it's not fun, especially during interviews. And for anyone that has a show or is considering one, if you're not in the right frame of mind and your energy's off or you have a bad day, like literally, you know, this is not the best day to record, don't do it because you're forever basically engraving that in stone. So we're in the now. I'm already enjoying this in our pre-chat. What's the next thing to consider on top of the words?
The next thing to consider, and this is what nobody teaches us. We don't learn this in school. And it goes back to the first thing we were talking about. What do I want you to feel? If I want you to feel excited about what I'm bringing to the table, or if I want you to understand my frustration so that we can relate and connect, I've got to consider, what do I want you to feel? What do I want your listeners to feel? What is the experience I want to create? That goes beyond the words. I can get the words right all day long, but science has proven to us that the words cannot create feeling. My voice creates feeling. So I have to know what I feel, and I have to know what I want you to feel. And I have to work from that place, which goes back to that step one, trusting that I'm going to have the words.
So what I hear you saying is, if you're saying to someone, how are you doing today? You're not exactly matching up the message with the, I don't want to say monotone, but what's the tone? I feel like it's a different word, though. You have to have how you're saying it match up with what you're saying. Otherwise, there's this cognitive disconnect. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's, you know, that to me is the uniqueness about psychology of the voice, is I'm literally coming from the place of, what do I want your subconscious to perceive about me? I want you to know the real me. And if I am up in my head thinking, I wonder what Mario's thinking right now. I wonder if he's thinking I'm doing a good job, because I don't know if I'm doing a good job, but I got to get these questions right. Now you see my voice can't work. There's a hesitation, like what you did. Well, that's not who I really am. That was a disconnect. And it was a sound in that disconnect.
How do we help move people past this?
You've got to trust that you know the words, and you've got to redirect back to the now. And that's literally, I think, the hardest part of the work for people. I can tell you, be louder all day long. But if there is noise in your head saying, you better get this right, or you better get these words right, you aren't in the now. Your voice isn't going to work. So step one is get in the now. Step two is think of everything as a conversation. People will say to me, what's my video voice, Tracy? No. Everything's a conversation. What's the best version of you? So you get in the now. You trust that you're going to have the words. You think of it as a conversation, and you think about, what do I want these people to feel? And you speak from the message, which is, what do I want Mario to know? What do I want his listeners to know? And when you speak from that place, you have the words.
I love that. That's a huge expert authority insight, because there's been many times, whether I'm on stage, behind camera, in front of camera, talking to someone one-on-one, whatever the case may be, and some of the most interesting times I find are just when you're out and about. It might not have anything to do with business, and you're just talking with someone. You know, everyone is a person. Everyone deals with communication, and everything is a negotiation. You don't need to be doing a $250,000 deal. You could be wanting an extra scoop of ice cream, like I so often find myself you know, would you like dessert? How many scoops it come with? Like, yeah, of course I do. Who wouldn't? You know what I mean? Everything comes down to it. And if you are a host of a show or even guesting on one, which I highly recommend, I can already tell when I was screaming 6 minutes ago or whenever it was, you can't do that all day. You can't do that time and time again before you mess yourself up. So how does someone go, okay, here's my, what if their message is more aggressive? How does someone find their voice if it's supposed to be a more aggressive message to be softer so they can continue it longer? Or how do you make it more aggressive if it's a light and fluffy message and they're just not getting the traction, maybe because they're not forceful enough and they just don't have that power behind the words that someone else would?
Right. Really good, really great question. And there's a couple of ways I can go with this. Part of what I hear you saying is that aggressiveness, let's bucket confidence. Confidence is I am owning what I say. I am, you know, that's a starting point for a lot of people. I'm not kind of telling you about what I've done for a long time. No, I'm owning it. And so when I own it, I already have more of a firmness. But what your question really takes me to is one of my favorite things that might be new to people, and that is value. Everything can't have the same value. A ham sandwich is not the same as a fire. It's just not. So why do we say it the same? Even within, let's say, I've got a fired up message. I'm fired up. I am frustrated. I am angry. I need you to understand. Even within that, there are shades. How many shades of blue are there? Well, look at in our spaces. We could probably come up with five or six. Everything can't be navy, right? So if within that frustration, is there another shade of frustration in there? Of course there is. Or we could simplify it. We could move away from shades and we could say some things are push and some things are pull. And we have to have a balance in push and pull. If I push at you for this whole hour, I am going to wear you out. I'm excited and I'm passionate and that's who I am. But you can't take an hour of that. You'll be like, oh my gosh. But I can find the pull shades in there and not lose who I am. So you can look at it either way, but we have to create the experience for people. We all are full of shades, right? We have to play all of them.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I always love bringing great people like yourself on the show. I never know what to expect. Some people are professional guests. They've done it hundreds of times and they know how to play the game. Other people are newer. I've never had anyone on the show that's so brand new. They just, you know, I do have some requirements, but as far as presenting, some of them are speakers, authors, and everyone has these varying degrees of how well I present, let alone on camera, let alone this. And it's interesting because when you said, well, I can't push at you for an hour, and I'm going, yeah, see, because you're kind of nice. There's some people I'm like, I think that was their goal, was just to see how much I could handle. And I've reframed this personally because I never know what's going to happen to a degree. And half the time, I don't even know what I'm going to say. But I'd encourage someone listening to not let that intimidate you, but rather go, all right, let's see how good I am now. Can I handle that? Like, if you really wanted to, could I go 30 minutes, 45, and you just be, you know, and when I'm a guest on interviews, I look at it. It's like, I have no idea what they're going to ask me. It's kind of fun. Some people are all, don't spring anything on me. I'm like, hey, throw something in there. Let's see if I can really hang at this level, because I think that's a skill set and it is a level. I don't think being interviewed with a truncated number of questions that are handed to you or the publicist hands to the host to say, only ask these, everyone can tell. Would you agree?
100%. And that's why even listening to you, we're getting all these different shades, and those shades come. I'm going to go all the way back to step one. Those shades come because you're so present. You're so listening, right? You're not thinking about, well, I need to get this question checked off and move to the next question. And that goes back to that being in the now. If I've got a checklist here of everything I've got to tell Mario all these things, I'm not going to be here right here with you. And if I'm not right here with you, I'm not grounded in my heart. I'm not connected to my heart. I'm delivering words. And so a big part of it is listening, which goes back to I'm going to trust. And here's a permission slip. I'm going to trust that I know, but here's a permission slip that I have to give a lot of people, which is we really want to know you.
Why do you think so many people are afraid to share themselves? The real them.
Judgment. Fear. Hmm. Yeah, fear of judgment is a big part of it. Fear of getting it right. There, we all have a voice story, and that voice story is usually locked into our subconscious before we're 5 years old. And my research shows me that literally one phrase, hey, nobody wants to hear what you have to say, gets locked into the subconscious. And the subconscious determines how we're going to use our voice until that story is rewritten. So when people get here, they're like, well, I know, but I could be bothering them, or maybe I'm saying too much, or maybe, you know, we're the stories are actually calling the shots, and we've just bought in and created a habit and played it over and over and over without realizing, oh, wait a minute, that was my first grade teacher that told me I talk too much. That's not now.
Oh, this is hitting real close to home for me a little bit. I have the report cards that say talks too much in class, and I think it's ironic as all get out now, public speaker host. So My question is, how would you help someone flip their flaws or reframe what they've been told to be able to step into their voice and use their power instead of playing that story for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of, well, I've seen it with other people, you know, they're always apologizing for everything. Oh, I'm sorry about this. It's like, it's okay, and I'm glad you're caring. And I've said it to people I know personally and even clients in the past, because I really was. I was, you know, I am sorry. They're like, it's cool. You don't need to keep saying it. Let's just move on from it. Because where they were at, they appreciated it. They get the point, but they don't need it 27 more times in 30 minutes. And I knew where it was coming from, and I'm thinking of a specific instance at a restaurant 8 years ago, as a matter of fact. But where does that come from? How do you help people identify that story that's locked in by five?
So what I hear you talking about is what I call a voice mask. And that's something that we literally hide behind for protection. It could be that to me sounds like the buffering mask.
But we're going here, are we? I keep talking and asking questions, and I'm a few questions ago, I go, oh, wow. Then the last ones I'm going, oh, this route. I'm teasing to a degree, but I really do want to know. So please continue.
Yeah.
No, this is going deep. This is awesome.
It's totally fascinating. Yeah, it's deep. This is transformation. You know, this goes beyond speak louder, but this is what you got to change the inside, right? You know, but to answer your question, and then if you want to continue talking about masks, we can. How do people start to reframe this, which is critical because that driver, that story is calling the shots. Speak louder isn't going to work if you've got a driver that says, nobody wants to hear that. So the first thing we have to do is first we have to become aware of what is the noise in our head. What am I hearing? Am I hearing, you better prove your worth? Am I hearing, you don't know what you're talking about? Am I hearing all of the above? And we've got to start questioning that noise and saying, is that ultimately true? And if we will stop in our tracks and go, wait a minute, is that true? We realize it's not.
Wow. Okay. Please dive back into the masks thing and preface. Go as deep with you want this as you want. I was making a joke. I should have probably kept my mouth shut. I can handle anything you're going to throw and go for it. I want to serve the audience. And I know this is, I'm glad it's not just, oh, well, if you stand there like this and you project this way and you do a vocal arrow, ha, go for it. I want to transform some people.
Yeah, this is, and not, I hope I'm not, I don't mean to criticize that work because there's no criticism meant.
Oh, I didn't take
but
it that way at all.
The data shows me. Okay, good, good. Because the data is showing me that the driver in the mask is always going to call the shot because the subconscious is trying to protect the heart. The voice is the orchestra of the heart. So we will put things in place to get us a result that will keep us from getting that result. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm a people pleaser and I want to please your audience. So I'm not going to really show you who I am because that might rattle somebody. So I'm just going to be real neutral. I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to show any passion because I'm a people pleaser. You never even heard me because you have no idea who I am. I put that mask in place to get you to like me because I'm a people pleaser, but because everything was the same and you do not know who I am, you didn't even hear me. So I've put something in place that actually keeps me from getting the result that I want.
So it sounds like the thing you're striving for, you're subconsciously putting a block. Mm-hmm. In your path because you don't all, maybe it's self-worth, maybe it's self-image, maybe it's whatever, but you're ultimately blocking what you're trying to make happen by the way you're responding to it. Instead of being confident in your power and just going with it and being normal.
Yeah. And there it is. You summed it up beautifully. That's it exactly. And it goes back to the noise in my head that says, well, you don't know what you're talking about and you better get those words right, but act like you know what you're talking about. Put up that need to prove mask and I want to prove to you I know everything. Okay, well, now I've repelled my listener because I put something in place because I was really too afraid to show you who I was because I was afraid you were going to judge me. When you really weren't, you really just wanted to know.
Wasn't even on the radar. There is no vulnerability.
Wasn't even on the radar. Right. That's it.
So I'm thinking in business, and I know you've worked with people in business and celebrities. What similarities do you see between them both?
Everybody's in the future. Everybody's worried about judgment. Everybody's trying to get it right.
Wow. So out of all the people you've worked with, I'm not going to ask you the transformational success stories just yet. I want to keep going here, but who do you find is the best candidate to make the transformations? Because what I was about to say was, I know people in business, which is common. It's like, you know, you have a type A personality, a driver, an ambitious, for anyone who's read the Wired That Way, you have the choleric. You have that person who's like always going, and from a different standpoint, you have the ego driving, you know, look at me, I want to prove something. You have that, you know, I've seen people burn themselves in the ground. They're like, but I'm doing it my way. It's like you just killed, not literally, but you went scorched earth on everyone getting you to this point. I don't think that's success, number one. Number two, you didn't bring anyone with you because you pretty much killed them all, figuratively. And now you're just this wound up ball of whatever, but maybe you've arrived. You got to where you were going. I wouldn't say you've arrived. That's not really a good winning strategy if you destroy everything in the process. What's really driving them? What's that mask? Is it the approval?
It could be a number of things. It is most likely needing to prove. It is most likely tremendous fear. The one thing I cannot work with is, now I've got an ear that I can literally hear these masks and pick up these things. And, you know, I've got people that literally are in such resistance about the possibility that they could be wrong because that is failure in their eyes. And they come at me with that. No, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening at all. Well, I wouldn't say it if I didn't hear it. And I'm very direct, but I'm everybody's greatest champion. So it is the person that maybe they have an armor, but they are very fragile inside. And that's one of the reasons that they have to keep everybody away. I can do it, because they cannot run the risk of being wrong. They cannot run the risk that maybe there's a better way. So in all of it is fear, and in all of it is needing to prove, and all of it is a quest to show that I could and show my worth. And it's probably a really deep wound, which is different than a very outcome-driven person. All of my people are outcome-driven, right? That's a great quality of success. I can work with those people as long as they're willing to entertain the possibility that I can take them to another level that they didn't even know they needed. So there's a humility there.
I'm loving this, and I can relate to both sides of it, depending on what version of me in the year. I think of the years as different versions, you know, because we're never the same person 2 years in a row, even if it's slightly. But there's so much I could go into, and I'm thinking of just the own personal development I've done over the years and leadership training and different things. Living in the point with the pain and then getting past it. Is there any, I know the answer is no, I don't even want to ask it, but how do you get someone past it? Is there even an easy way to go through it, or is it just really deep self-work?
It's not deep. It's not, I mean, it is. It is really deep. But in the way that I've created Psychology of the Voice, it is meant to be an acknowledgement and a recognition and a rewrite. We don't have to do a long, deep dive on the stories. We can, but we don't have to. I just need you to recognize what they've done. I need you to recognize that you mumble your words or you speak fast because you feel like you've got to get to the other side to get it right. And I just very quickly reframe that story. I rewrite it basically because it's not true. Then I go after the muscle memory. What did it leave behind? Did it leave fast behind? Okay, now I'm going to come in, and I may not go to slow, but I may go to shades of fast. I'm going to get you back in the now. I'm going to rewrite what was left behind in the muscle memory. And it's very profound work, but it's not a 2-year process. It's an 8-week process, because we don't have to labor over it. We just recognize it and rewrite it.
So you're not doing a super deep dive on the psychological, emotional, like this, like you're saying, the story and to that degree. But once someone acknowledges, okay, I have a problem here, what can we do to fix it? You can work with that. If they're at the place of...
Absolutely.
If they're at the place of, like you were saying, and it's interesting when you said it, because when you were like, no, I don't do that. I recognize some of these things too, because when people apply to do a book with my company, it's like, I can't work with everyone. You know, I need your expertise. I need your knowledge. And there's certain things we need. But the main thing is, are you coachable? Are you able to say, hey, yes, this is true or not, and not get so emotionally tied to it when we say, that's not a good idea, or this would be a better one, or hey, that's great. You know, and there was someone that popped into my mind when you were like, no, that's not me. That's not me. And it's like, they have the heart. They want to change the world. They want to do all these things, but it's never their problem. They never do anything wrong. They do, but they don't ever admit it. And it's like, you can't work with that. Is that what you're getting at? Is if someone's willing to admit it and recognize it, you can rewrite it and it doesn't take forever?
Yes. Yes. And what I hear you say there is mask of defense. And I can always find a back door. I'll always find a back door. It's just easier if I don't have to. And there actually are occasions when I'm just not going to get in. But the reason I don't have to do a deep dive, and I think you're going to love this, is the story is driving the shots. Do we have to break down every event that happened? No. All we have to recognize is that it was in the past. We cannot change it. Is it ultimately true now? Is that what we want now? Is there another story now? Is there something else that could be true? Well, actually, yes. It's like the difference in, I got 100 reviews. 99 of them said, I was the best voice coach ever. One of them said, she did a good job. Where am I going to look? Those 99 don't exist. It's just like that.
How many different types of masks are there? You said the mask of defense.
There's about 15. There's needing to prove and mask of defense and people pleasing. There's buffering. Buffering is I'm going to dance all around before I ask you if something. So that's very common and you can pick it up immediately. Words can be a mask. I'm going to word you to death and word you and word you and word you and word you and tell you more and tell you more and tell you more. You had it in the first line, but I believe I need to tell you those words. Justification. Justification is a mask. All right. Even speaking fast. Everything is fast. Everything is fast. That can be a mask because if I speak fast, you're not getting in here. You're not getting in. In fact, I'm going to hold up this mask of speed and I'm not letting you in under any circumstances until this is over. I'm going to keep going fast.
Wow. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think at some point you got me on my toes because at some point or another, I think I've done one or all of those. I'm really want to ask this because I know the audience knows it because they listen to me all the time. And do I have any masks? And if so, what are they? And for the record, we just met today. I think she's awesome. I couldn't wait to have her on, and we had a really good pre-chat, but I don't think we've known each other for 10 years and just a little preface, but I'm really curious your experience of me. And I do realize this is recorded and live, and this might be a shoot in my foot, but I want to be the best I can be, and I hope to God this is okay. There's only been a few times where I've asked someone on air live to be like, yeah, let's do it. And one of them, we did a whole breakdown in different things, and he was like, close your eyes and do this. And I woke up, I'm like, oh, the show's still going on. I feel great. So, but I'm really curious because you're mentioning all these things, and I got to be honest, this whole time, 90% of what you're saying is triggering something to some level where it's like you're taking me back to that experience with the one person and what she was saying, and then we're going back over here and over here, and I'm like, it's really cool, and I'm really glad you can take people through this. So I guess part of me wants to people please. And let everyone know it's okay, it's safe, don't be afraid of it. So,
I have been focused on listening to be in this conversation with you. And when I kind of do my thing, I literally focus with my listening ear, which I was not doing. I was doing that just now when you did that. So I haven't even been listening from that perspective. A lot of people don't like to have me around because they're like, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? But I will ask you a couple of questions because as soon as you started talking about this and the bravery of having me do this on air, which is a brave thing to do, it made me think of a couple of things. And I am literally working off of sounds that I can hear that line up a certain way and coming from the perspective of how you are potentially being processed subconsciously. I will say this, and I can say this in all truthfulness, you're great. I feel very connected to you. I don't feel like you're talking at me, which is very important. I feel like you're talking to me. I do hear a lot of great movement in your voice. And this is not the case for everybody, because first and foremost, there's many people that we cannot connect with. It doesn't mean we don't like them, but they have these masks and things in place that are kind of like a bulletproof glass. I can see you and I can hear you, but I cannot touch you. And don't take that literal, take that in the figurative sense. I really want to be connected with you. And I am experiencing all of that. Where my questions come, are you no nonsense?
When?
As a person.
Probably not ever. Well, no, hold on. Maybe. Sometimes. I like to add a little bit of nonsense for fun. I don't like being bored just with anything, even if it is super serious. But there's some things okay. I'm like very efficient, productive, and can get stuff done. And at times it's no nonsense, but I'm thinking of the most serious stuff. I'll still add humor into it, whether that's a self-defense mechanism or just me curing the boredom or just setting people at ease. I bet funerals are probably the last place you should be making jokes, but I remember experiences where my uncles and relatives were doing it, and I thought it was like, oh my gosh, are we going to get put in jail? Is this against the rules? But I really think it's to lighten people up and just make sure that, they're okay, because you can only take so much of the seriousness before it's like, we need a break.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then where is the caution coming from?
I don't know. But thank you for recognizing it, because I could tell you I was aware. Where do you think it's coming from?
And I can hear it coming in your jaw. I can hear the words start to come out, and they get, and it's not all the time. Like literally people, your audience is like, oh my gosh, where is this woman from? Because it's not an obvious thing. It's not obvious. Like you're kind of having me work here, which is totally okay. Some things are real obvious. Like if I'm like this, if I've got to, prove something to you, that's obvious. I'm going to next level sounds. And what I heard was I heard your jaw grab something almost like that would be too much if it got out. And it's random. It's not an all the time thing. And that's why I first went to, are you no nonsense? Because it's almost like, come on, let's get it done. Let's go. Is what I first was hearing it as. And then as you continued to talk, it gave me an opportunity to listen to you more, which is why I ask questions a lot, is that it's actually a trick so I can hear you and keep you comfortable and in your real voice. And I just was hearing this slight little grab that said, that's enough. That's enough. Don't go crazy on them. I don't know if any of that resonates with you.
Don't go crazy with me? Like me not go crazy, or you by asking the questions? You heard me stop myself from saying more?
Not in the sense of words.
Oh, I get words, it.
But it was...
I caught myself and stopped something from just continuing. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Mm-hmm. What the hell is it?
But does that resonate with you? And it's so tiny, nobody's going to notice that. But where I want to, you know, where I come from is that subconsciously creating a red flag. And I'll give you the best way for me to show you something is give you an example. I was working with a thought leader, has a big podcast, and I was listening to his recordings, and there was one tiny sound, just like that one tiny sound I just heard with you. And I said, listen to that and tell me what happened there. And he said, how did you hear that? And I said, well, I could hear it. What happened? And he said, I didn't want to answer the question. And I said, well, that tiny sound, instead of saying, I don't want to answer that question, as yourself, you braced. And I heard that sound and it red flagged my subconscious to say, what's he hiding? So that's an example of what we're talking about here. And here's the other thing that I think is critical for me to say. This could be something that is literally not your reality anymore, but it is still in your muscle memory. Was there a time when you felt like you had to kind of rein it in? And is that still in your muscle memory, even though that's not who you are anymore?
Two things come to mind. One, I was in speech therapy when I was younger because I had a problem saying different words like lion. I would say, no, that was the other kid. I had a problem with my R's.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's it. It's not. I have so many good ideas and I have so many different ways I can help people. There's very few people I can actually talk to on the level that I can play at. I very often have to reel myself in because it's like most people just want the surface level stuff. That's why I enjoy doing this so much, because clearly we're not like, oh, look at that. The weather's great today. What do you think, Bob? Yeah. Oh my gosh, shoot me. Is that close to what you were asking?
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. It's this in the moment reframe. I can't go there. Let me back up. And it's the tiny grab of a sound that makes me go, well, just go there. To just go there.
So with you, I have no doubt I could, but with most, if I can tell within a couple of minutes or even one sentence or something, if like, can we even, and it's not that it's anything good or bad or whatever, like specific topics, I can just tell mentally and intellectually, I'm like, this is going to be a waste of my time. And I probably said some things, and the way I said it just now and the words I used, you just picked up on something else, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. And where I go to, what, you know, if I'm 100% me, coming from the place, and you know, and I'm real direct, but I am your greatest champion too, because what I ultimately want for my people more than anything, I want them to make a big impact. I want them to make people feel something, but most of all, I want them to have inner freedom.
Yeah.
And when, all of a sudden, we're there, there's no inner freedom, right? And that's a crummy place to be. And I know that water seeks its own level vocally. And so I would be really curious. I absolutely understand what you're saying and agree with what you're saying, but I would be real curious what happens if you just show up and do you anyway.
Okay. I don't know. But thank you for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
All about another level.
It looks pretty amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
It looks pretty amazing to me. Clearly you're hitting some hot buttons. and I just want everyone listening to know, Like this is all coming out in your words. So when you have your messaging, if you're doing something on air, off air, because I can tell you from writing the books I've done, I can pick up people's tone in their writing too. So no matter what your business is, what your message is, people can read you like a book. Think of all the people they defend everything they're doing, but all you have to do is ask three other people and it's like, what's your opinion of so-and-so or the brand or this, that, the other thing? And it's like, they'll tell you the truth. Perception's reality. So don't think for a second you're fooling anyone. As fun as it is to try, if we're making a movie or a comedy sketch, it's fun to make jokes about all this. But at the end of the day, it's why I started doing this stuff and why I'm not. I do welcome it. I don't want to say I'm afraid of it because clearly, you know, I'm work in progress like everyone else. But it's so much more relaxing to be like, you know what? I can be cool with this now. I don't need to be doing. There's one of my, it's, I don't know, A lot of people try to prove something all the time. And it's like, you know, you have the power when you can just sit there and just be like, I'm cool with not doing it or having to show off or having to prove it. That's where you get the confidence and power from. And I wouldn't say I'm seeking the power, but it's just that place of how can I be the best I can be so I can help you and help Expert Authority World and help people in the books and just everything. How do I be the most effective, you know, person and man I can to be of service at that, like you said, that next level? And I see it. But yeah, we definitely touched on some things. What's the solution? Because I want to be done with this. Like, it's been a long time coming. If you have a... So what would you say to someone who's looking for the solution and realizes there's some things going deeper? I guess that's a good... Like, we're on Jeopardy. Reform it to a form of a question.
Yeah. I would... The first thing I would say is don't be surprised if 3 hours from now or tonight or 20 minutes from now or tomorrow morning when you're brushing your teeth, you don't go, oh yeah, that neighbor down the street, Judy, I'll never forget when she came down and told my mother that I was too dramatic. You know, don't be surprised if there's not some kind of story that pops up and you can recognize that for what that was. Is that reality now? No, reality now is you're amazing. And then you start, it really, so much of it. I mean, there is a physical thing that we could work to plug in, but really so much of it at first, pillar one is the mental reframe. Start questioning, what's the worst thing that could happen if I just show up as myself every single time? What is the worst thing that could happen if they don't like me? Is it reality that they're not going to like me? I have people write down everything that they're concerned about around using their voice. I'm afraid I'm going to sound pushy. I'm afraid I'm going to sound like a know-it-all. I'm afraid they're not going to like me. I'm afraid I'm going to be, see, and confidence and arrogance walk down the aisle together. So for a lot of people, it's, I don't want to come across arrogant. Right? That's a lot of my people. So you write down all these things that come up and you literally can go line by line and go, is that ultimately true? Is it ultimately true that if I just really, really knock it out of the park with my passion, no matter who's sitting there in front of me, that people aren't going to like me or I'm going to be too much? I heard my whole life I was overdramatic. Okay, this is who I am. And I'm not going to come on this show and pretend to be something else because I have a fear that you're going to think, like my siblings did, that I was overdramatic. And it all circles back to what do you want to make us feel? Bringing the tentacles back in is what I say.
Wow. That's definitely powerful. I can't wait to ask you about the transformational stories, because I think you have a new one right now in progress.
Wow.
To answer your question, what's the worst that could happen? To get rejected by the people I love that I can't help and want to.
And is that ultimately true? That's going to happen.
Probably not. Logically, I know the answer is no, but doesn't change the way I feel.
Okay, let me reframe that for you.
Okay.
It is not an option. And this is literally subconscious reprogramming. This is the rewriting of the psychology of the voice. It is not possible for you to control the outcome. I can come on your show and I can adore you and we can have the best conversation, but I cannot make you like me. We could get off of this call and you could go, well, I'm never having her back, right? Where the power lies, and this is, again, it goes back to a mask. If I'm trying to make you like me, if I'm worried that I'm going to do my best and you're not going to like me, then I'm in the outcome. I'm going to work from the place of, I am going to give you 150% of me every single time, because I want to change the world. And I don't know how much longer I have here, but I'm going to leave here having served everybody that I need to serve. So I'm working from this power right here. I am controlling this conversation where I have power, and that's going to guarantee me my outcome. Because I know that no matter how hard I try, I cannot make you like me. I can just show up and give you 150% of me.
And I appreciate that. And thank you.
And it's no different. That's the reframe. We're all busy controlling the outcome because that's what we are taught to do. That's what the ego tells us to do in the form of protection. I gotta keep this guy safe. Oh man, he's met Tracy. That's not good. I gotta keep him safe. So we're gonna be in control of what they think. And it ends up being a bulletproof glass that you can hide behind without even knowing it. It's sneaky and it's tiny. And you didn't even know it was there, maybe, right? But what we really want is we want to know who you are, because whatever those things are that, like, maybe an overdramatic, okay? I don't go into a call going, okay, you better tone it down, girl, because I know my people out there that are overdramatic are going to go, whoa, she gets me. And if I hadn't revealed that, then I have left somebody looking for the person that can help them. And that's the power of just trusting that they're going to like me and working from the place of, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to serve you. Does that resonate?
It 100% does. Because, and thank you for being so open with this, because I am glad it's not, okay, you know, like I was joking earlier, stand here and say this, and here's how you project with your voice. And when you're talking to people, if you really want to be a good presenter, don't be afraid to use a lower tone, because that really captivates them and brings them in. Dime a dozen. Great. Mm-hmm. It, you know, I'm not putting it down either, but like, give me something new. Oh, this was definitely new and different. At least 100 episodes worth. I've done it very few times, and not because, like I said, not because I'm afraid, but just like, we're in the middle of a show. There are questions. There is a thing. It's not like a private conversation. And but I thank you for being open with all of that, because there's so many people, and maybe I'm projecting, that just they have a heart of gold. They just don't have the business acumen in every little area. Or maybe they have the business acumen in the heart, but they don't have the communication style, or they, to your point of being overly dramatic or extra. It's one of the best things you can do if you're talking to a crowd or an audience. You know how boring it is to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, I've been at conferences in the past where I'm speaking on stage to hundreds and thousands of people, and I'm just like, how the heck did they pick him or her? Like, there's better people in the audience. We could get up there right now. Like, are you for real? You have to have would you agree you have to have some sort of presentation and being a little over the top if you plan on doing anything on audio or video?
I believe that we have to elevate our vocal energy for sure. And for somebody that is overdramatic and a little larger than life, we work at a higher vocal energy. So part of it is vocal energy. Somebody that works at a vocal energy like this is going to be hard to listen to for, I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
30 seconds.
Right. But yeah, there you go.
So you're not saying it's always you need to start tap dancing and doing backflips on stage. It's you need to know how to project, communicate, and enunciate too. When you were making that joke about the when you're always mumbling all the stuff off the lip. What was that? You trailed off. And did I catch a niner in there? For anyone who catches the Tommy Boy reference. There's people who do that all the time. That it's like, what'd you say, mumbles?
Yeah. And that's a mask. That's literally, that is not about articulation. That is, I guarantee you, they have a story that says nobody wants to hear what you have to say. This, so the subconscious has trained them to put the sound out because they're checking. Because if they can pull it back in their mouth, then you didn't hear them and they're safe. So back to the original question you were talking about, vocal energy is a part of it. We have to elevate our vocal energy, especially on video, because video, we start looking at ourselves going, oh my gosh, and we get up in our head and that can decimate a vocal energy. So vocal energy is part of it, but vocal variety is the other part. And the fastest, I can technically teach you how to do that, but the fastest way to get there is to go back to that feeling. If I'm hiding my feeling from you, well, I better not be excited because, you know, that might be like too much. So I'm going to not, y'all should really try this. It's fun. Okay. That's, there's no feeling there. So we go back to that feeling. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked me that question. If you're excited about that question, because if we just put in a be over dramatic, then we run into, hey, everybody, I'm on. Welcome to the show. Hi. And then people are like, what is this? And they can't connect to that either. So we, you know, we still have to be us. It's what is the best version of us?
That's a great expert authority insight. What is the best version of us? Because in one scenario A, it might be, hey guys, I can't really, even if you are a public speaker, I can't think of one time that actually would be the solution to be literally that. But no. Okay, cool. But to this, I was actually thinking of someone walking up on stage doing that, and then with my friends ready to go on the boat at the house. And it's like, yeah, if someone walked on either instance of those, it would be like, again, who let this person in? So it's the appropriateness, because, okay, maybe you can turn it up and you are louder. You're addressing an audience, but you don't need that same vocal energy, as you're saying, when it's just us talking or we're having dinner or we're in a room of 10 or less people, maybe 6 or less. 10, you need to project a little bit more.
Yes. But here's, and you said this, and I'm going to reframe a little bit what you said, because it's really important. And I really Please want the audience to get this. I call it tentacles out versus tentacles in. And what we tend to do is our tentacles out, I'm going to let you determine who I'm going to be. Mm. And that's not what we want. I want you to find and deliver the best version of you. Thanksgiving dinner, I'm like this. Video, I'm like this. On the boat, I'm like this. But I'm turning up and down the gas flame of who I am. But I'm always me.
There's no mask.
There's no mask.
Okay. I think we could go for hours on this, and it's fascinating to me, and I really thank you. I do want to ask you about how you got into this.
So I was actually raised in a family where I really wasn't allowed to speak much. It was an extreme version of children are to be seen and not heard. And I realized very early on that I was navigating the world based on sounds I could hear. I didn't think anything of it. And I found the platform of speaking and acting at the age of 12, and I wanted to be an actor, and I was an actor. But because of various things that happened in my life up to college and into college, where I really couldn't use my voice, I had never been allowed to say no, you don't express your feelings. There were things that, you know, it was problematic. And I, as an actor, and as events had transpired that changed, that shifted my voice, I got put into working with voice coaches. And I was just always good at it. I always had this ear. I didn't realize the power of what it was. I wanted to be an actor. So I went and was an actor, and people kept finding me to coach their voices. And I went and got a master's degree and became a director, and people kept finding me to coach their voices. And I loved it, and I was fascinated with it. And it was my purpose from the day I was born. I just didn't realize it because I bought into the voice story that said, you have to be quiet and you know nothing about how to use your voice. And when I realized, and that was the birth of psychology of the voice, when I realized that I was simply playing out a voice story. And I started out specializing in dialects, and I was fascinated with why does the Irish baby sound Irish? And I'm from Texas and I sound Texan. And that was when I discovered the subconscious needs the Irish baby to fit in. So the subconscious puts in the voice. And then I branched out and I said, there's more. There's the people that are mumbling. There's the people that are fast. There's the people that are loud. And I could always hear it. And I could always hear the story. And that is just kind of how it evolved. And 30 plus years later, I'm obsessed with voice and the power of it and changing it for people.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, I asked earlier about the people you've worked with business, and I know you've worked with celebrities also, alluded to that. Now I'm going to ask you about the biggest transformational story. I know you do. Could you give us one of each? Someone from business and some celebrity.
Mm-hmm. So from celebrity, there's one that I'm thinking of off the top of my head that was really, really great. And it was actually more of a thought leader. Do you want true celebrity television, or do you want, can I do very well-known thought leader? I can do either or.
Do one of each. No limits.
Okay. All right. So there's a very well-known thought leader that I had a conversation with, and we were talking about what I did, and he said, oh my gosh, I want to do that. I want to learn that. And he was already great, right? And of course, I think everybody's great. I don't believe in bad voices. I believe there's voices and voices I can make better. And he said he was already very successful, massive downloads, multimillionaire. And literally, I didn't even work with him for a month. And what I did was I plugged in, what do you want me to feel? There was an issue with a sound being stuck His sound was a little bit stuck, which was affecting the flow. His sound wasn't traveling to my heart and wrapping around my heart. But what I mainly plugged in was feeling. And he took that into his next launch, and he went into the double-digit million-dollar launch simply from plugging in how he wanted us to feel. He worked every line of that script, every piece of that, he worked from the place of what do I want them to feel? And that gave him his biggest launch to date. And that was 3 or 4 sessions we worked together. So that was a really, really big one. There have been numerous celebrities that were auditioning for something and they were missing the mark. They weren't, they were getting right to the last two. It was down to two. And that was in numerous cases where I cracked the mask. There was something that they were hiding behind, and it was generally imposter syndrome. It was generally a secondary gain of, if I am successful, then this will happen. I cannot go there. So that's what was happening a lot with the celebrities. Then my most successful business person story is a gal that her two biggest issues, and she was great, very, very dynamic presence and delightful and fun. And I noticed two things with her. One, her tail was in the outcome so bad that it was dramatically affecting her sales calls. She was still successful, but I could hear her in the outcome, and she was foreshadowing vocally that I was not going to buy from her. So I moved her into the now. I locked that into the muscle memory, and I cracked masks and did some stuff. But then the second thing that I did that transformed everything for her was I got her revealing what I call bits of you. And she had this story that I've got to be professional, which a lot of my people have. And I had to reframe that for her and show her that she was professional. And I got her to start revealing the fun bits of her. Because she was so fun. And what happened was people would start contacting her and they would say, okay, I just saw your webinar. If you're like that in life, I have to work with you because you are so fun, but I have to pay you today. And so she doubled her rates and doubled her income, all from showing up as the best version of herself.
That's awesome. I know I've been there too, probably still am, the whole professionalism thing. I know there's some people in business and it's like, they're just all over the place. And I think it works against them at times, but some of them just go so full bore. Even if they're getting rejected 60% of the time, they're capitalizing, or 90, they're capitalizing on that 10%. I think that's tiring and you can't keep it up forever, but I know other people that are way more professional than me. And I've heard people say they're wound so tight. They're like, I get stressed out being around them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's kind of true. It's like, you can be professional and like, hey, we're cool here, but it's interesting because everyone has something, huh?
Yeah. Everybody, even the best of the best, you know, it's like I said, you're bringing so much good stuff to the table. You made me kind of dig a little, which that, you know, is okay. But everybody's got a mask because everybody's got a subconscious that's protecting their heart because everybody has a voice story that got put in before they were 5. Some overcome faster, better, stronger, but I guarantee you, I can always find another layer. That's my job, is to get to the bottom layer, because it gets heavy holding up those masks. And that is what I hear you say in those people that have that, that death grip. That is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it forever. And you don't have to.
Yeah, that's the silver lining at the end of the tunnel, the hope at the end of the rain, whatever. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There we go. Point is, you don't need to do it forever, and it's nice to shut it, because it's a lot more fun too. It's like, none of this matters. No one even cares. Yeah. No one ever did care. I didn't even really care. Why is this a thing? Huh? So I have one more question for this part before we thank our sponsor, and it's the Wheel of Whatever. And I got a good question for you. Well, it depends. Do you want the yellow or black question? See them all right here spinning? See all those questions? You want the yellow or black one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to let you pick.
All right. We're going to go with the black one. And the question for you is, who is someone that you've worked with already, that you've already given a deep transformation to, that you believe you could go deeper with if they were up to it?
Do I say their name?
Let me do a caveat. Is there someone, or even multiple people, is there someone that you'd like to work with again that you know that you could still unlock more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody, probably. Everybody. Many people. Many people I can think of. Because I think that there's always another layer. We get to such a spot, and there's so much uncovering, and we get to a really, really great place, but then we can always come back and say, is there more? Is there another layer? It's always worth investigating with everybody I work with. In fact, for the first time ever, I've run an alumni program because people wanted to come back mm-hmm. and see if there was another layer. And I never wanted to be an enabler. You know, it's a real system, and I want to put it in and I want to get it locked in. And then I need you to go and work with it. I need you to go try it out in the world. I need you to make it your own. And so I always had a bit of a hesitation about being an enabler. But this group of people convinced me to do this. And I'm finding that we can even get even more subtle and nuanced in the teeny tiny sounds. Now that all the big stuff's gone, now it gets even more fun.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's enabling. And I get where you're coming from because, you know, I've done and I do coaching as well for marketing and publishing, but you want it to be so effective they don't need you anymore, but there always is something more you can be doing. You don't want it to be mm-hmm. a 5 or 10, mm-hmm. yeah, take my 5 or 10 year program every month. No. Like that's not a solution. That's actually pretty slow. Mm-hmm. I heard you say the 8 weeks earlier on, so I get that you don't want it to continue, but at the same point, people change and grow in circumstances in life, and mm-hmm. that's the beauty of life. It should be ongoing. I hope it is for everyone listening. But yeah, I'm glad you did that because I could see, I kind of felt that. I could see that happening and being mm-hmm. beneficial a year or two later. I mean, there's books I read 5, 10, 15 years ago where it's like you come back, yeah. it's like, wow, it's a whole new book. Same thing.
Yeah. And I saw that happening. People would come and you know, I would work with them and we'd rewrite a bunch of stuff and it would be great and they'd go out in the world and then maybe they'd start a podcast and they'd see some things that they weren't liking in that podcast. And I'm like you, I don't want the 10-year plan. I didn't even want the 1-year plan. I want to get people fast results. You've suffered for X amount of time without inner freedom. Let's get you some results and get you out there trying it out. But I'm also a huge proponent of, I think that there's always growth. I kind of hope so.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There always is because you're either growing or dying. There's no mm-hmm. in between. You're either moving forward or not. Mm-hmm. End story. So mm-hmm. that's good you have that. I'm glad I asked. That's inspiring.
Yeah.
So we're going to thank our sponsor and come back for the Imperfect Action Round.
You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch, unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
And we are back with the imperfect action round. Tracy, are you ready to take imperfect action?
I'm ready.
Oh, good. Now I'm making you nervous, huh? No need to be. 3 questions, 60 second or less answers. The first one is, what is the fastest path to the cash?
Make people feel something and create a connection.
Ooh, very good and succinct. Number 2. What is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way for them to fix it?
They've decided what we're thinking. They've decided what their audience is thinking. They have bought into the judgment and all the false stories that their audience is not thinking, never was thinking, never did think. Get your tail back in the now and release the outcome.
Wow. Great expert authority insight. Thank you. Number 3. What is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
Show us who you really are. When I know who you really are, I can connect with you. I can have a deep understanding that you're my person. I can build trust because I have no doubt who you are. I'm never questioning anything about our relationship. I know where you stand. I know where I stand because I know who you are.
Very good. That's powerful too, and very true. Okay. Books. What are some books that you have helped your life, business?
The best book that I ever read is actually a mindset book around money, and it was The Complete Works of Francis Scovel Shinn, which is a book that a whole lot of people have never even heard of, but it's in the Think and Grow Rich family. Those are a couple of them that I have adored. Of course, I've also loved Chris Voss's book, Never Split the Difference. That was a phenomenal book for me to read. And he even talks about voice in that book, how important voice is to hostage negotiation. So those are a couple of my favorites, but I'm an avid reader. I've probably read too many to remember.
Well, those are great recommendations. Thank you for those. Where would you like people to learn more?
Best place to find out anything you want to know or all my social media channels is at the website, which is captivatetheroom.com.
Well, I thank you so much for so many different reasons. This has been... I think I could confidently say not only one of the best... recently, in the last year, the last 100, the last 150, but I would say all of all time since I started. So thank you for that. And I could tell you were fully present. And I know the audience feels it too.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad there was so much value here for you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is mine, sincerely. All right, Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless.
You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.